praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the word. Sweet the rains new fall, sun lit from heaven, like the first dew.
Good morning, everyone, and I welcome you to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. We're joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Nettney, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. If you are a visitor today, we hope you will be with us often. Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So let us all praise the name of the Lord as we call ourselves to worship. Lord, we know there will come a day when you separate the sheep from the goats and the wheat from the chaff. Please let us be in the number whose names are written in the book of life. May we love and serve you faithfully, even as we love our neighbors as ourselves. This we pray as we are reminded of the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the time we share our announcements. Apple Pie Day will be next Saturday. We are still looking for people to peel and prepare the pies. None will be baked this year because of COVID. We can't be in the kitchen, it's way too close quarters. They're $12.50 a piece. You can call Roberta Bumpus and leave your order, or you can certainly call the church office and leave a message on the message machine if we're not there. You can also call Sue Winship or Sue Dunbar if you want to make another order as well. There was a mistake in the triad, unfortunately. The Christmas gifts for Christmases for kids are supposed to be back by November 21st, which is also Apple Pie Day, the same day as Apple Pie Day. The gift should be returned unwrapped with the tag from the tree. And because of the daycare, you can pick up a tag or bring your gift any day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. during the week. You may have to leave them, you may leave them in the boxes outside the office in the CE building or pretty close to the tree itself. I believe at that time, we're also going to be selling on the 21st some, I don't know if the Christmas trees will be here or not, but some wreaths. So if you'd like to pick up a wreath at the same time, please feel free to do so. I would remind you also to please return your pledge card as soon as possible to help our treasurers with the budgeting process for 2021. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to make?
Are we going to just comment about the number of tags that remain on the Christmas tree?
Gil, go right ahead. I'd appreciate that. I got your email, but I don't remember the numbers. I don't do numbers.
Okay. Yeah, I went over last evening just to double check again and to see if there are any gifts that were in the boxes. But we have about 19 tags that are still on the tree. And seven of those tags are for toys, nine are for clothes, and then there's three tags that would be purchasing a gift card that we could use if we have to purchase any gifts, you know, to make sure we supply all that we made a commitment to. So our concern is, you know, we're looking for the gifts to be in next Saturday. Certainly we've got a little flex time after that, but if you haven't signed up for a gift and would like to do so, Martha and I were just communicating last night and we thought maybe the easiest way is for folks to give us a call after the service. And I'm gonna have the listing of toys. Martha will have the listing of clothes and whatever a person would be interested in. They want to purchase a toy, they can give me a call and I can let them know what remains on the list and vice versa with Martha. If you're uncomfortable with the toy list, then you could always call Martha and maybe choose a clothing item. So if that would work, just to help facilitate the rest of the cart, the tags being taken, we'd appreciate that.
Okay, thank you, Gil. That's wonderful. It sounds like we're in control of the situation, thanks to you and Martha.
So All right, and we probably need to share our phone number.
Okay, right ahead.
And I'll just share my cell number is 508-594-9619. So if between say 11 and noon, if folks would call, if they're interested in toys and Martha, if you'll jump in.
Yeah. My phone number is 508-699-6256. And, give me a call if you'd like to buy some clothes for kids.
Thanks. You. I would ask both of you to put that in a chat to everyone at the bottom of your screen, if you can see it.
Okay.
That would be a help, I think, because it's, you know, I'm sure people are scrambling for paper and pencil right now and maybe did not get them. Okay.
Yeah. And I would just say, using my cell phone, if someone calls and I don't answer, just leave a voice message because I could be on the phone with another person from the church.
Absolutely. Okay.
We'll be awaiting your call.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gil. I appreciate all the work you've put into that. Any other announcements? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you introduce your music for the week to us? Thank you.
Yes. I just want to make a quick announcement. We are, and Sherilyn, you can back me up on this or correct me. I think we're still looking for participants for the Christmas pageant, And we're trying to get that done as soon as possible so we know who's on board and who we need to send information to about filming, because we're making a video. So, you know, anybody else that's interested, just get back to, you can even get back to me or to Sherilyn or to the church office and just let us know if your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, we're letting anybody in on this. It's not just Sunday school kids this year. We're just, we're looking for whoever would like to participate in the Christmas pageant, in the virtual Christmas pageant. Is that about right, Sherilyn?
It is. Yep. If you want to let us know in the next day or two, that would be great.
Yes. Okay. Cause we have deadlines as far as making the video go. So, okay. And with that, we're going to sing our hymn together. And the hymn today is, "This Is My Father's World." And this is one that's very popular. It's always in the fishbowl of requests that's on the organ. So I hope you sing along at home. And remember, keep yourselves muted. And the lyrics are posted in the chat area of this phone call, of this Zoom meeting. And Kathy sent them out in the email. Or you can just move your lips. But let's all sing, "This Is My Father's World."
Mr. Dave, this is the time we share our celebrations, and I would like to celebrate all of you. You've really been holding in there with this Zoom way of worshiping, and it seems to me, with all that we're hearing on the news, that this is going to be going on right through the winter. So I'm just grateful for all the help I'm receiving from all the people who have helped set up Zoom, and especially Wayne and Dave, and also Pastor Glenn. Do you have any celebrations that you would like to share?
I celebrated my staff's birthday yesterday.
Very nice, Madison. Very good. And you have another celebration, don't you? What's happening next week?
Next week I'm coming home for Thanksgiving.
Right, that's nice. Good for you. Good for you. Okay, anyone else have?
Mr. Jackie. Jackie had her 39th birthday again yesterday.
Oh, very good, Jackie Howard. Happy birthday to you, Jackie. And I saw Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to celebrate that my Christmas CD went to print this week.
Ooh,
and so I'm going to have physical copies of the CD. I should have them right before Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving weekend. And I'm actually donating a portion of the CDs to the Christmases for Kids Fund. So it's going to be a little after the deadline, but I'm sure they'll take the money if I send it to them.
They will not turn it down, I assure
They will
you.
Not turn it down. So I am going to, you know, so if you buy them up, buy them for your friends, buy them for your, you know, for your family, I am going to donate a portion of that to Christmases for Kids. So That's it's a good great. Cause, and it's a good way to get the CD out there. I will have physical copies. I'm going to send some information through the church or through an email or something like that on how to get them. And if I can get your address, I can certainly get payment. And I'm setting up Venmo, but I can certainly do a check through the mail and send them out to you. So that should be happening Thanksgiving weekend.
That's great. Excellent. Any other celebrations?
My mother made it to Massachusetts.
Oh, Tammy's here. Yay. Very good. That's great, Eric. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. And as always, we pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, and we include these people. We pray for Loretta, for Chad, for Brigitte, for Kathy, that's Kathy D, Doris, Vinny, Marie, Lee, that's Tyson Bull's sister, Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Bert, Raylan, and Madison. These are two young children who are struggling with cancer. They are not a part of our church, but people within the church have asked for prayers for them. And we pray for Ed and Janet Dyer. I didn't get a chance to call Ed. I was going to yesterday. I'm hoping that Janet is still home with him, but we can chat after this. Pastor Glenn's father, Alan, he's at home, I believe, so he's doing well. Good. And Sue L. has some upcoming surgery, so we pray for her this morning as well. Those people who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, we pray for Bud, for Jackie, and for Carol. As always, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all of those who are in the forefront of that battle. And for those who suffer from addictions, we constantly pray. We pray for the health of our nation, and we pray for our communities as we face these difficult days together. So let us pray for all who are in special need of God's grace, and please feel free to speak out the names of people you would like to add to our prayer list in the time of silence. Let us pray. Lord, we commend to your mercy all of those who are in anxiety or distress. Most particularly, we remember the hungry people of this country and the nations all over the world who suffer from food insecurity, many for the first time due to this worldwide pandemic. We also pray for those who suffer from the cruelty and contempt of arrogant people and nations. Grant them the inner dignity and hope that is able to defy the neglect and contempt of their fellow human beings. God be with us during this dangerous time, this time of turmoil in our own nation. You have guided us for three centuries, and you assure us that you will always be with us. And we pray for all who are ill or suffering this morning, particularly those whom we have mentioned by name. We ask that you would hear now the names of other supplicants, families, and friends in this time of silence. And Lord, on this Sunday after Veterans Day, keep us mindful of the great sacrifice of our veterans and those currently serving our nation all over the world, and especially those who have returned, who have such medical problems now. They remind us that you said there is no greater love than that of laying down one's life for another. O Lord, give us all the grace to serve you in our various callings and to minister to our neighbors more charitably, because we walk humbly before you, our God. And it is in your name and because you have called us to come to you to be your disciples, we offer this prayer. Amen.
care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Our scripture reading for today, we've been following the teachings of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Today's lesson is the last parable and the last teaching of the disciples and the other followers of Jesus before he sets his mind on the Last Supper, his arrest, his crucifixion, and resurrection. This is a warning about the final judgment that faces each of us. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Please hear these words. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to thee?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. I'm going to assume that we're all here this morning to learn more about God, to try to get right with God, so to speak, God's ways. Other people may go on their own merry ways, but we call ourselves Christians. And we believe that we have a call to try to listen to and discern God's will. It's not just our will that counts, it's God's will. We understand that our lives are meant to be lived by different standards, more significant than our own standards, our own notions of right and wrong. We know that we are to live our lives for God, and that's why we are here, or at least that's why we should be here. This is a teaching that was a complete surprise to Jesus' followers. Life is full of surprises. Do you remember a little monthly magazine? I think it's still being published, actually, called Reader's Digest. My mother always subscribed to Reader's Digest. And to her eternal regret, right after World War II, she turned down an offer of a lifetime subscription to Reader's Digest for $50. Of course, the magazine might have gone bankrupt, but more importantly, she just didn't have that kind of money to spare at that time in her life. And over the years, she would always lament, "Oh, I have to send in my subscription to Reader's Digest again." And I estimate that she ended up spending about $3,000 because she got Reader's Digest right up to the end when she was 99 years of age. Personally, when I was a child and a teenager, I always wanted the Reader's Digest to read the jokes and the stories, like this one. A nurse wrote in one time to tell about the fact that there was a new piece of equipment that she was using in the doctor's office. The nurse worked in a gynecologist's office, and they were beginning to use a battery-operated device called a mini-dop on expectant mothers in order to listen to the heartbeat of the babies. The problem with these early devices was that sometimes they picked up interference from radio or television that might have been in the waiting room. What one doctor discovered, quite to his dismay, was they also could pick up CB radio signals. Imagine his surprise when one day he had the device to the abdomen of one of his patients when a voice came through as clear as day saying, "How are things out there?" Life can be full of surprises. So we have this parable about God sitting as a judge and separating people into two groups, the sheep and the goats. The sheep are the righteous people who will be in heaven with God, and the goats are the unrighteous people who are banished from God's presence into what Matthew calls the eternal fire. I trust you've heard of fire and brimstone preachers. Do you know what brimstone actually is? It's just sulfur. If you've ever ventured near an active volcano, you can smell the acrid smell of burning sulfur. When I visited the Big Island of Hawaii, we took a plane ride over an active volcano, and you could see the smoke and fire across the span of the volcano, and you could smell it. Well, how did the biblical view of this constantly burning sulfur come to represent visions of people burning eternally in hell? I think it's important to understand that Jesus used word pictures to describe many abstract concepts. Jesus often used word pictures to describe abstractions about God, which he probably never intended to be taken as particularly literal. When Jesus spoke of hell, he was using a word picture. You see, the Greek word for hell is Gehenna, and in the Hebrew, it got translated to be Hinnom. Literally, hell for the Jews was the Valley of Hinnom, or the Valley of Gehenna, and it lay on the outskirts of Jerusalem. It was in this valley where, in the ancient days, those who worshiped the heathen god Moloch had often sacrificed Jewish children by throwing them into fire. To the Jews, this valley became desecrated territory, and to show their utter contempt of the heathen god Moloch, they turned this valley into the garbage dump for Jerusalem. It smoldered continuously with fires. In it, a loathsome species of worms bred and multiplied, and the bodies of the worst criminals were thrown into that valley. That the worst fate that could come on any Jew was not to have a place to be buried, but to be thrown into the fires in the valley of Gehenna, or Hinnom. Therefore, it was natural for Jesus to use hell or Gehenna as a word picture of God's judgment on those who were rebellious against his love. Hell, with its flames and eternal torture, was not meant to be taken particularly physically or literally, in my opinion. Nevertheless, I believe that God's judgment is a reality. It's not a pleasant thought, but God is a God of judgment. For centuries, we have asserted this belief in the Apostles' Creed when we say, "He shall come to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead." This parable tells us that in the end, when all is said and done, we will be judged, and all the nations of the world shall appear before that judge, the King, God. How many times have we heard this parable? How well we know it. The sheep and the goats appear before the judge, who is God, and God separates them, the right from the left, the sheep from the goats. Images of right and left, let's not take that politically, please. Sheep and goats are biblical ways of speaking of judgment, of the saved and those who are not saved, of the insiders and the outsiders. And how shall the judge make these eternal final judgments? Well, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? Will there be a tally of our stewardship to the church, a lifetime report of Sunday attendance in church, a list of all of the offices that we have held in the church? But you know the story, you know the answer. The answer is this: I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to see me. Well, the sheep and the goats are shocked and surprised, and they ask just those very things when all these things happened or didn't. You know, what did we do? What did we do? Tell us what we did. And the answer came back: what you did for the least of people, they had done for God. And there you have it. Whenever we do these acts of kindness and hospitality to the poorest, especially in our society, the cup of cold water, the visit to the jail cell or the hospital, we have done it for God. And God sees it and blesses us. How well we know the story and how many sermons we have heard preached on it. I've heard this text used to attack and improve the prison system, to vote the straight Democratic ticket or the straight Republican ticket, or to take part in civil rights and Vietnam demonstrations of my childhood and youth, and for the support of our local soup kitchens. And it's appropriate. So is it really that easy just to work in a soup kitchen or visit a prison and pass the test? There's a story told about a man who was met at the pearly gates by the angel Gabriel. And he was told that entry into heaven required 1,000 points. The good works he performed during his life would count toward the points necessary to gain admission to heaven. This is not a story of Jesus, by the way. This is someone else's story. The man said, well, I was active in my church and attended almost every Sunday. Aha, Gabriel said, that's worth 50 points. And the man smiled and said, I sang in the choir. That's good for another 25 points, said Gabriel. I pledged 10% of my earnings all my life. Oh, well done. That's another 50 points. And then the man realized he had only garnered 125 points and he needed 1,000 if he was going to make it to get into heaven. Well, he went on, I taught a Sunday school class for children for 3 whole months. How many points is that worth? Well, that's 25 points. The man was quickly becoming frantic and it didn't look like he would have enough points to get into heaven. And finally, in frustration, he said, the only way I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God. And Gabriel smiled broadly and said, yes, and God's grace is worth 1,000 points. Welcome to heaven. You see, the parable says that the sheep and the goats are utterly surprised by God's judgment. The people that were going to get into heaven were not necessarily the people that they thought were going to get into heaven, like all of those high officials in the temple who had turned their back on mercy and justice for those who were poor. This story is not a shrill call to work at good deeds, to up our pledge to the church budget, although I think the stewardship committee and I would really like that, but rather our good works are just symptoms of a life lived virtuously and a promise of eternal life given to us only by the grace of God. This parable is not about how you and I can read this scripture, get a grip on God and a surefire technique to twist God's arm towards our lives, a three-step process for getting ourselves right in God's eyes. Such efforts are sinful attempts to avoid judgment. We do not earn our salvation by our good works or even by our faith or by our beliefs. We are saved simply by God's grace. Please don't misunderstand. Grace does not whitewash the sins of our lives. Grace comes in a very honest way and says to us, you made a mistake, you blew it. You made a fool of yourself, you are a sinner. You deserve the judgment of God upon your life. But rather, surprise, the good news of the gospel is that God tempers judgment with grace. This is a story about the very nature of God. God loves us. God forgives us, God redeems us, God tempers judgment upon our lives with grace because of who God is and because of who we are. God judges us. Our surprise at those judgments can be the wonderful shock of grace. Amen. Thank you.
Go in peace. Make sure this good news becomes public. Reach out to the sick and the shut-in. Share what you have with those in need. Comfort the dispirited. Help free the oppressed. Spread God's light throughout the darkness. And may the love of God live in us all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And this concludes our service for this Sunday. And stick around if you'd like to chat a bit.